Hebrews chapter 11, we come now to verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. In verse 21, we have Jacob. So we have Isaac, Esau, and Jacob, three interesting men. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through chapter 3, verse 1, tells us that there are three kinds of people in the world. There are the natural, unsaved people, there are the spiritual, and there are the carnal. The carnal are the saved people who don't live like saved people. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. In Isaac you have the spiritual man, in Jacob you have the carnal man, and in Esau you have the natural man. Esau was not a believer in the covenant. Esau got rid of his blessing, got rid of his birthright. Esau lived for the things that were temporal and temporary. Esau is talked about over in chapter 12 of Hebrews, verses 14 through 17. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, the grace of God doesn't fail. But we can fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and by it many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. Now, the word profane means literally outside the temple. It means a common person, one who was outside the covenant relationship with God, like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For ye know how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it with tears. It wasn't that he was seeking to repent himself. He was trying to get Isaac to repent and to change his mind. So Esau is a picture of the natural man, isn't he? He lived for his body and not for his soul. He despised his birthright. He despised the things that were spiritual. Give me food lest I die. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And he lived for himself and not for others. And he lived for time and not for eternity. He lived for the immediate and not for the permanent. And the tragedy came when afterward he wanted things to change, and they couldn't change. Afterward he found out that the decisions he had made were going to stay, and he failed of the grace of God. Again, God's grace doesn't fail. But he failed of the grace of God. He did not use the opportunities God gave to him. So Esau's a picture of the natural man, the unsaved person. And if I'm speaking to you and that characterizes you, I encourage you, I implore you to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Don't live for the things of this world. The fashion of this world is fading away. The things of this world are going to perish. The world is passing away and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We read in verse 20 of Hebrews 11, by faith Isaac, a very simple statement, but oh, what an exciting story behind it. Behind that little statement is the call of Abraham. Behind that statement is the wait for 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled and Isaac to be born to Abraham and to Sarah. And behind that story is some family rivalry because Ishmael did not like Isaac. And Ishmael had to be driven away, cast out from the family. Then, of course, Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau, and there's more family rivalry. Jacob was a quiet, a home kind of a person. Esau was a hunter. Quite frankly, I suppose we would have rather had Esau as a neighbor than Jacob. You were never quite sure what Jacob was thinking. Esau was open and interesting, a hunter, an outdoorsman. But Jacob was sort of quiet and meditative and a schemer. You never quite knew what Jacob was up to. But the key issue here is not personality or skill. The key issue is faith. makes no difference whether a person stays home or goes out into the field, whether he reads a book or goes and hunts a deer. The issue is faith, and faith is what makes the difference. Here we have Isaac, the spiritually minded person, blessing Jacob and Esau. I fear that when this happens, Isaac was not as close to God as he should have been. Isaac was going to bless Esau, you remember, and Isaac knew better. Before those boys were born, God had said that the elder was going to serve the younger. Well, Jacob was the younger of the two. You've noticed, I'm sure, throughout your Bible that God rejects the firstborn and chooses the secondborn. God rejected the firstborn in Egypt. The firstborn died. God rejected Abraham's firstborn, Ishmael, and chose Isaac. He rejected Isaac's firstborn, Esau, and chose Jacob. And he rejects my first birth. My first birth does not stand before God. I have to be born again. I have to experience a second birth. And the key issue here is faith. Let's look at Isaac now as the spiritual man. Isaac is a picture of the believer. We're told in Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." And so Isaac is a picture of the believer. Isaac was born miraculously. Now, it was not a virgin birth. That was reserved for our Lord Jesus Christ, but it was a miraculous birth by the resurrection power of God. Abraham was too dead, and if Sarah was too dead to be able to have children, and yet God performed a miracle, and Isaac was born. In the death of my old nature, I could do nothing to please God. I was dead in trespasses and sins, but I trusted Christ as my Savior, and new life was born within me. I was given a new nature, born anew into the family of God. And so, like Isaac, I have a miraculous birth, born from heaven, born from above. The name Isaac means joy, and of course our birth from above does bring joy. Isaac means laughter, and he brought great joy to the family of Sarah and Abraham. And there ought to be joy in the Christian life. We read that Isaac grew, he matured, and they weaned him away from his childish things, and then the battles began. You know, you and I as Christians need to grow and be weaned away from things that are not good for us, and even from the things that are childish. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, "And said, when I became a man, I put away childish things." Ishmael persecuted Isaac. We read this in Genesis chapter 21, verse 9. Here's the conflict of the old nature and the new nature. Ishmael did not create any problems until Isaac came along. My old nature was getting along real well with me until my new nature came along when I was born again, and then there was trouble. Well, Isaac became the heir. He was born rich. Ishmael was born poor. My old nature was born poor. My old nature was born into slavery, but the new nature is born rich and born into liberty. The interesting thing is this. Isaac did not have the exciting life that Abraham had. Most people are not like Abraham. Most of us are not great pioneers of faith like Abraham, but God needs all kind. Isaac did his job. Isaac fulfilled his purpose just as much as Abraham did. Isaac didn't have as exciting a life as Jacob did. Isaac was the son of a famous father and the father of a famous son. He was sandwiched between greatness, and for that reason he sort of looked down upon. But, you know, most people today are garden variety Christians who just live everyday faithful lives. They aren't going to have their names on the front pages of the magazines. But he was a man of faith. And, you know, the key to Isaac's life was the fact that he put himself on the altar. Isaac was willing to be a living sacrifice. Isaac put himself on the altar, was willing to die. He was obedient to his father. He did not die, of course. He was raised up from that altar, and the ram died in his place. But from that time on, Isaac was a living sacrifice. That's what God wants us to be. Now, it's a marvelous thing to be born miraculously from above and to bring laughter and joy into our lives and to grow and to inherit the wealth that God has for us in Christ. These are all very wonderful, but have we come to the place like Isaac where we put ourselves on the altar? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, your spiritual worship. I know something else about Isaac. He let God choose his bride for him. You see, when he got up from that altar, he was God's man. He may not have been an exciting person. He made some mistakes. He did some things he shouldn't do. He lived a rather ordinary life. God blessed him abundantly. But Isaac was a living sacrifice, and he let God direct in his life. He let God choose his bride for him. I have seen more Christians ruined by marriages outside the will of God. And I would beseech you to put yourself on the altar and ask God to show you your mate. Don't go out and choose on the basis of the world. That's what Esau did. Esau discovered that he could hurt his parents. And so he went out and took a couple of women who were godless women and married them. And, they brought trouble to the home. He let God choose his bride for him because he was a living sacrifice. Something else about Isaac is interesting. He always left wells behind. You find Isaac is the well digger. Now, Abraham did too. And Isaac reopened those old wells that had been filled up. Every new generation of faith has to come along and reopen some of the old wells that get choked up and let that living water flow out to be a blessing to others. Now, he blessed Jacob. Jacob would not be an easy person to bless. But you see, this was the patriarchal blessing. Abraham had blessed Isaac and conferred upon him the covenant blessings from God. Now, Isaac is supposed to bless Jacob. You remember that before the boys were born, he was told this. He was going to bless Esau. Jacob and his mother heard about this, and they tricked Isaac. Isaac was blind, and Isaac was so easy to trick in his old age. God ruled and overruled in all of this. I don't think that Jacob should have schemed and tricked like he did. I'm sure Isaac should not have tried to give the blessing to Esau. We have a divided home here. Isaac was partial to Esau. He liked to eat the food. I wonder if in his older years Isaac had gotten just a little bit carnal. If perhaps he was more interested in food than he was in doing the will of God. Maybe not. I don't want to judge him. But I do know this, that God ruled and overruled so that Isaac had to bless Jacob. Now, he did give a blessing to Esau, but it was a material blessing. It was not the covenant blessing. Esau did not receive the very special covenant blessings that God had for Jacob. And you today and I today need to go out and be a blessing. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. In other words, he said, here is what God is going to do in the future. And when he put his hands upon Jacob and blessed Jacob, he imparted to him the kind of blessing that would last forever. Now, I would hope that every father can be a blessing to his children. I think far more important than leaving your children in your will, money and houses and cars and all of these things, I think far greater than that is to be a spiritual blessing to your sons and your daughters. Let me ask you, Dad, can your children look at you and say, you are a blessing to me? If they were to come to you and you were to ask them point blank, what have I done for you that's been the most important thing in your life? Would they say, you have been to me an example of a spiritual father? You have been to me a blessing. You see, it's a wonderful thing to be able to put your hands out and bless people. Now, we can't give the same kind of covenant blessing that God gave to them. This was a very special thing. But we in our lives, through our words, through our deeds, through our prayers, can impart to our families the same kind of spiritual blessing that others have given to us. You see, I am indebted to my predecessors. I'm indebted to my mother and father and my grandmother and grandfather and my great-grandmother and grandfather. My great-grandfather, I never knew, but he used to pray that there would be a preacher of the gospel in every generation of our family, and that prayer has been answered. And we rejoice at having a godly heritage. Here in Hebrews 11, we have four generations of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. What a marvelous thing this is. You know, so often a mother and father who are godly will have sons and daughters who are not quite so godly, and then that third generation comes along, and they're just plain worldly. And oh, that's such a heartache. Isaac was a blessing to his family. Now, I'm not saying Isaac didn't make mistakes. He did. I'm not saying that Isaac did not occasionally have lapses. Of course he did. We all do. But you see, Isaac was able to involve his family in future blessings because he himself had the blessing and was faithful to the Lord. If there's one message I would give from Hebrews 11:20, it would simply be this. As fathers in the home, as the spiritual leaders in the home, let's be sure we can bless our children. Let's not work so hard for material things, thinking that we're going to be a big help to them. It might ruin them. The greatest thing we can do for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, is to be godly people who can pass along the blessing of the Lord the way Isaac did, that others might be able to share that blessing down through the years.